This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And good morning. Welcome. Welcome here. You are here live with Dr. Jeff Werber here for the next 30 minutes on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff. We're here for you, here for your pets. And as you can see from a different studio setting, I am in Park City, Utah. It is absolutely stunning here. Blue skies, great snow. Yeah, it's great. So I've been doing some snowboarding. I was out Friday. I'm going to be out again as soon as I hear it on my radio show. And yeah, it's been really, really good. And so anyway, otherwise, show as usual. If you want to get a hold of me, 877-385-8882, 877-385-8882. Or you can join me here live on Zoom. Go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on shows, Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff, and you can click on me, and you will have a Zoom link there. And of course, here on Instagram Live, thanks for joining me this morning. I'm waving back to you, being very carefully, because my phone is not in its regular, you know, phone stand, so it might fall down. So, as you know, I like to peruse the news. For anything you guys want to talk about, if you can send me like a little note or a question, I'll be able to answer it as here, as well, live here on the show. And the same thing for you over on Pet Life Radio. Just go ahead and join me and ask me questions. So as I usually take notes and peruse the news, I also did the same thing here. This time I've teched it up a little bit, and on my good old iPad, I've taken my notes. So let's get into some stories. If there's anything you want to talk about along the way, just ask me a question and we will definitely bring it up. Usually the second half of the show, I love questions. So ask them now and hopefully we will get them answered, or at least great reasons for discussion. And that's the thing. There's so many important things that you think that this is only your problem. No, no, no. I guarantee, and this is one thing I've learned over the years, that that's why I can answer a question just by how somebody starts introducing what they're going to ask me about. That's how common some of your problems are, and I can pick them up right away. So, all right, so here we go. First of all, this was really, really cool. You know, I love cool stories because, you know, look, a lot of times, you know, people think we are second, you know, class doctors, the veterinarians. Oh, so you're not a real doctor. And those of you who know me and my car, my license plate frame says real doctors treat more than one species, and for a good reason. So this is great. Sea lion brain cell transplant stops seizures. Whoa, a 7-year-old sea lion with brain damage from a probable, it's called domoic acid exposure. Apparently, that's something that a lot of sea lions and wildlife are exposed to. Had a cell transplant using healthy cells from pig embryos and has been seizure-free ever since. And what's so unique about this study and this technique of implanting cells from another animal, another species, in the embryo phase, because we do know that the premature, all right, the cells that haven't yet developed, they actually will take on the organism that they're implanted into. So they were healthy cell embryos, and they, of course, transitioned into helping the sea lion brain through development. So the precursor cells haven't really committed yet to their species, which is so cool. So anyway, they're thinking that what's so great about this is that it is something that is going to be able to help people with epilepsy. And that is really, really cool. So that's just really one of those feel-good stories that we, veterinary medicine, are doing things from an experimental standpoint that ultimately can help people as well. So we've talked about buyer beware before, a lot of online scams, but now in many states, pet shops that sell live pets have been banned. In Los Angeles County, for example, I think in actually most counties in California, that is the case. So this was a pet store in Florida that has been selling sick puppies, and they're now being sued because they found that by going online and using the internet, there have been many, many buyers that have been scammed, and these animals were sick. And so basically, they are now getting together and suing. And that is, as I say, buyer beware. Be really careful. You know, and one of the things we talked about is if you are getting a pet online and you're just not sure, the first thing people ask for, first of all, check an internet, check a website. Any legitimate breeder is going to have a website. Secondly, call them and say you'd like to speak with a veterinarian. Because I had one the other day, and it was a third party. So the guy claimed he got it from a breeder, but there were some issues and they couldn't keep it, or where the person was a middleman and they sold it. The papers made no sense whatsoever, because according to these papers, this dog was getting vaccines every 2 weeks, which is ridiculous, starting at 2 weeks of age. I mean, really? So we are basically assuming that this puppy never had vaccines yet at all. And it was 4 months. So, I mean, the good news is it made it to 4 months without being vaccinated, but still, it is a problem. So again, any legitimate pet person who doesn't have a really good relationship with a veterinarian, you can call and say, hi, I'm thinking about getting this call from so-and-so. They go, who? Well, they said you're a veterinarian. No, we look at the records. We have nobody by that name. Then you know it's BS. It's a scam. You want to be careful. It's just not fair. It's not right. And they are taking advantage and they're asking for money up front. Don't send any money. Don't even send gift cards. Nothing up front. There's no way to trace it and you're going to be scammed. So, you know, the best thing to do is if you're going to do anything like that, go to legitimate sources and make it legitimate, get paperwork, you know, registrations, hopefully microchips, et cetera, et cetera. So that's, as I said, very important. We really, you know, we want to be careful out there. Not to mention the dogs that you often will buy are really not good dogs. I mean, they're not well-bred. They're probably puppy milled somewhere, or a lot of times they're being shipped in from Europe. For some reason, Eastern Europe is becoming a French bulldog capital. There are so many Frenchies that I see, and I see a lot of Frenchies that are coming in. So again, that is, as I said, buyer beware. Be careful out there. Okay, next up, as I'm waving, hi, everybody. Okay, this is also interesting. Let me give a little background story on this one because it really hit a nerve for me. I was in Arizona a couple of years ago, and I went to one of these. It was like a sanctuary, pet sanctuary, kind of like a zoo. They had people come visit. You walk through. And you know, look, I know that zoos and stuff like that get a bad rap from an animal perspective. And yet I have to tell you, I was so impressed. I, you know, as a veterinarian, I was able to go backstage, if you will, and talk to the animal handlers, talk to their veterinary technicians, and their commitment to these animals is so unbelievable. And this one sanctuary alone in Arizona has basically saved a couple of hundred bird species because of controlled breeding programs, which otherwise these birds would have been extinct. So you think that they don't care. You think that shelter employees don't care when they have to put all these dogs to sleep. They care tremendously. They do everything in their power to not euthanize. But sometimes it's because of space limitations, all these other factors, and the cities that they work for, they have to. I mean, so this is what I thought was, so animal welfare is a top priority for zoos and aquariums. Drake University, I like this, actually has a program for zoo and conservation science, where you can get a degree in zoo and conservation science. And I mean, the fact that people would attend such a program to get a degree kind of tells you that they legitimately care for the animals that they're going to be taking care of. So anyway, I thought this was really cool. So there are strict standards, what they call for high quality of life for animals under human care in order to be accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. So they are not just for making money and treating these animals terribly and having them come in. You go to some of these zoos, you go to San Diego Zoo, for example, the environments, their enclosures that they make, they create for these animals is just like what they would get in nature. They really, really do work hard. Now, is that to say that they're all like this? No, but nothing is like all like everything else. As you know, maybe already, veterinarians all went to vet school, all graduated, all are probably smart, and yet I'm sure you've heard of and been to some that just you just didn't like or you didn't think they cared. As I said, when I lecture, I have a slide that seems to strike the nerve home that pet parents really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the funny thing is, and I get this all the time, is like people think that they got such a great veterinarian. He's so great. And I ask myself, how do they know? Really, how do any of you know how good your veterinarian is? You really have no idea, unless you're another medical person. They could be watching me do a surgery and they have no idea if I'm doing anything right. The outcome, of course, has to come out, okay? But to get from A to B, there are different techniques, there are different ways to do it. And none of you really probably know whether anything was done correctly or appropriately or the way that the science of veterinary medicine dictates. Yet, you think because this veterinarian happens to, you know, be a good guy or a girl or and loves their animal that they're really great. So the gauging, the criteria that you are gauging your veterinarian is not the same as one that, for example, my peers or the specialists that I recommend cases to would use to judge me. So, you know, you just have to just know that just because you have a license doesn't make you good. Just because these zoos have a zoo and they doesn't make them great. But it is interesting to note that there are governmental bodies that are overseeing these zoos and aquariums and making sure they do meet a certain standard. It's like being in a hospital that's certified by AHA, which is the American Animal Hospital Association, that they definitely do work harder to make sure that all these animals are safe, well cared for, that they are checked regularly for disease. They really go out of their way. And I think that they deserve a little hands up or an applause, because they are most of them, I would think, are doing a really nice job for what they have to work with. And again, look at the alternative. The alternative is a lot of these species are going to become extinct if it wasn't for some of these breeding programs that many zoos and aquariums have. And they all work with each other. They're not fighting against each other. They're actually working together for the benefit of the animals. Now, this is also another really cool one. And, you often think about this. You know, a lot of times, someone will come to my office and, I'm in Los Angeles. So a lot of Spanish speaking families. And of course, I'm speaking English to this dog. Doesn't understand a word I'm saying. And what's so cool about this one, dogs know when a foreign language is spoken. Researchers in Hungary, they found different activity and their patterns in the dog. It's called the secondary auditory cortex in the brain. Whether listening to a familiar language, an unfamiliar language, or non-speech, just vocal noise. And what's also interesting, which shows that it's a kind of learned, older dogs exhibited more differences than younger dogs. So it's so cool. So when you are talking to a dog and that dog at home is hearing, say, a foreign language different than theirs, than ours, then you know that they know they don't understand what you're saying, but they do know that's not a language I know. And that, so again, when you think about the learning potential of these animals, of the animals that we work with, how amazing is it that they are so much smarter than we know? I mean, look, when we know when there's a foreign language being spoken, right? So, but so do they. And they may not understand it. They just know it's not the language they're used to hearing. So again, that is really cool, as I like to say. All right. Now, this was interesting. And I don't know if I agree with it totally, but I can explain some of it. And that is that pet ownership in 2020 rose, but shelter adoptions didn't. And, we always heard that people are going to shelters and the shelters are empty. Approximately 70%, now 70% of U.S. households had pets in 2020, up from 67% the year before. But the American Vet Med Association found no substantial increase in animal shelter adoptions. So they feel that most of the pandemic pups were from either rescue groups, which is very possible because I work with a number of them. And yes, they were very, very busy. And some of them emptied out pretty well. Breeders or commercial sellers, which we try to avoid the commercial sellers. And even, breeders. Look, I have two purebreds. They're amazing. One Frenchie, my lab. They were both rehomed. Interestingly, I did not get them firsthand. But if you have a breeder that is legitimate and, is breeding really healthy animals and wants to sell them either for show or for breeding, I'm okay, but I think there needs to be responsibility exhibited on their parts to make sure that they are legitimately good breeders. But again, adopt, don't shop. If you can find what you're looking for, let's go backwards. If you're looking for a pet and you don't really care if you're not going to show it, you're not going to breed it. You know how tough it is to have a show dog? I mean, you are committed to this animal. If you're even thinking of it, I will direct you to a movie called Best in Show from years ago. And if you think this was acting, no, this was not acting. This is the real deal. This is exactly how some of these breeders are. And it's funny, this happened to me years and years and years ago. One of the big dog shows was in Los Angeles, all right, at the convention center. And I went to see the dog show. So I'm with my mom and I see this cute dog. It's called the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And I walked by. And my mom says, "What is that?" I see her turn around. It already passed us. I go, "It looks like a King Charles Spaniel." All of a sudden, excuse me. I turn around. She goes, "I'll have you know, this is a Cavalier King Charles. You know, there's a difference, you know." And I was like, "Oh my God, lady, you are so weird." I mean, that's how they are. And it's not acting. That movie was the real deal. When you see it, you're going to say, "Wait a second, I don't want to be anywhere near these people. So I am not going to ever get a purebred. I am not going to breed. I am not going to show. No, it's not for me." So I think the rescue groups are great. Shelters are good. Whatever we can do to save these animals from being put to sleep is a good thing. So we are going to break here for a few minutes for our commercial break. And I'm going to go scroll through if there are any questions or things, subject matter you'd like to discuss. But when we come back, we'll talk some more. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. First of all, and I agree, if we talk about veterinarians, a responsible pet parent will check up their vet's background. And yeah, no, I mean, the truth is, everything could be there. But what you can't necessarily tell, unless there's some terrible reviews about the place or about your handling your pet, I think that the passion is just as important as the knowledge. And, you know, I find that, I mean, just to put it in perspective, many of you know, I'm in my 38th year of practice. And, you know, when you're doing something for close to 40 years, a lot of people doing it, they're hanging up their hats. They're, okay, it's enough. And in this last month, I spoke to three of my classmates, two of whom are completely retired. They're out of it. And one of his, like, got him down himself to a day or two a week. And I'm thinking to myself, I tried to do 3 days a week when I left my VCA, my Century Vet Group, and started joined Value Vet in Westwood. And yet I was so busy, I couldn't. So I'm back to 5 days a week. And to me, it's not work. So it's those are the little the salient things that you just don't. If you don't have that passion, I think clients could see that. And so what happens is when you have a veterinarian that is very capable, is very good at what they do, very competent, but you know if for them it's a chore. When it starts becoming a chore, probably not a good thing to keep doing. And yet, it's, you know, for me, as I joke, it's my golf. I don't play golf, guys. So yes, this is my golf. I would do it on my day off. And in fact, I do it on my day off. So it is what it is. But I think the rave reviews come from that, not from how good a spay I did or how I removed that thyroid tumor and so beautifully, because clients don't know that. So it's how available, how caring, how passionate. Those are how we, the veterinarians, are being judged by the people that matter. And I care a lot about that. Again, I don't really care much about, it sounds kind of weird, but think about it. I don't care much about my colleagues, what they think of me. I do care about what the specialists think of me, because that's how I can gauge my clinical skills, is when I send a case to one of my specialists, whether it's surgeon or an internal medicine or a dermatologist, right? They see what I did. They see what I worked at. They saw what my differential diagnoses were, and they come back. And if I screwed up, and I have in the past, they know, yes, I can call Jeff and say, Jeff, what were you thinking? But that's how I learn. But when it's your local colleagues that kind of badmouth you, I think that's professional jealousy. You know, unless it's done properly, where they pick up the phone and say, I saw this case. Were you thinking about? So I've done that. Listen to this. There was a very old practitioner in town. He was very well known, but he was very ancient in his ways. And I saw a case of his. It was one of, you know, this is when hyperthyroidism in cats was becoming an entity. So I get this cat. They heard about me. I don't know why or how. And the cat was diagnosed with heart disease because it was a very rapid heartbeat and liver disease. So interestingly, you know, when you think about, you know, can animals have more than one disease going on at the same time? Of course they can. But you always look for one disease that can cause all the symptoms and you're better off that way. So I look at this cat. The cat is scrawny, eating like crazy, rapid heart rate. I feel the neck and sure enough, I feel a thyroid nodule and cat was hyperthyroid, which explains everything. So at the time, this was way before radioactive iodine. I did treatment. I did surgery. I removed the thyroid gland. Fortunately, his other side was good. And the cat did great. I think he lived to 18. So anyway, this guy was such a nice guy. And he was a vet for Barbara Streisand. I mean, he was really well known, but he was old. He was like in his late 70s, early 80s already. And yet he had the passion. They loved him. And what was he that skilled at that age? Was he that knowledgeable about new things at that age? Maybe not. But man, did they love him. So I called him and I said, you know, doc, I said, hi, it's Dr. Werber. And I said, well, I saw a case of yours. Now, mind you, they didn't refer him to me. The owners came on their own. But you don't say, you know, I saw a case that was referred to me and it was at one of your cases. So I just kind of chipped in and I explained about the case. I said, you know, there's something that I've been doing ever since I've learned more about this. It's called hyperthyroidism cats. And when I do the annual blood test, I always include what's called a T4 and a free T4 by ED. It's a test that is more sensitive to the real issues of hyperthyroidism. And I did this test, and sure enough, it was hyperthyroidism. And I did the surgery. Everything worked out great. So one thing, you know, next time you see an older cat, any cat over, you know, 10 or 11, and you're doing the annual blood test, just add on this ED. I think you will find so many hyperthyroid cats that you never expected. And he was so appreciative. He's, oh my God, Doc, thank you so much. That's great. P.S. He finally retires. And his hospital was bought by the same group that I ultimately sold to. And they merged two next to hospitals that were literally a block apart. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these cases referred to me from this hospital. Well, it turns out that the secretary that had been with this guy for 30 plus 40 years, right, said, I called, I said, how are you getting all these cases to me? So I said to her, when we sold, I was not very happy with the sale, but Doc had to retire. I know that. So he always mentioned how much he really liked you and trusted you. So all my clients that I know would not be happy, I'm sending them to you. So you see that kind of, you know, one good deed. I mean, that was the best thing I ever did. I could have been a jerk and badmouthed the doctor to the client. No, you don't do that. You just handle it like a mensch. Anyway, it pays off. So another question that was brought about, when should we start flea and tick medication for puppies? Well, it really depends on the medication. Most medications will give you an age that when you should start, when it's safe to use. It's usually anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. You don't want to start using many chemicals in pups less than 8 weeks. Many of them are approved and safe. Now, just understand the thing about the approval process. Approval comes from what testing the manufacturer did, right, in order to get the approval. So if they didn't test it on 8 to 12-week-old puppies, but started at 12 weeks, then they can put that on the label. It is safe for 12 weeks. It's not safe for before that 8 weeks, like some of the others. And I'm talking about the isoxazolines, which are the big four. You have Bravecto, you have Credelio, you have Simparica, you have NexGard. So these are all that were called isoxazolines. Some of are approval for 8 weeks. Some I think are 12. And so it all depends. It doesn't mean it's not safe. It means the company did not decide to test it on animals that young. So anyway, I would check the label, check with your veterinarian for sure, and you'll see when it's safe to start giving them. And also depends on how big a problem it is in your area. If you're in an area where during the winter, you're not really seeing fleas or ticks, right? Start in the fall, you'd be safe. But as far as safety, check with the manufacturer. Next, how do I protect big furry dogs' paws from beach, sand, and snow? Great question. So what I recommend is let's come sand first. A lot of times when it's hot, it's not only the sand, they'll step on tar. You have a lot of that black tar asphalt that gets stuck in there. And then that is like a wick for getting sand. So at the end of your beach day, I would go ahead and check the feet and try to clean them as best you can. And if you have to, get a little, you know, like a little shaver, like sideburns, you can get them, or take the dog into your groomer or your veterinarian and have them trim the hair, because that way there's less to stick onto. So that's one idea. Same thing with snow. Dogs' feet are very sensitive to the cold. So again, check the feet. And it's not just the snow. In a lot of municipalities, especially where it's doing a lot of snowing, a lot of these municipalities are putting down either some sort of chemical or a very strong salt to like de-ice, to melt the snow. That itself is very, very important. So you want to make sure that the feet are clean. The best thing to do if this is a persistent problem, getting little booties. You can get these booties. They slide right on. They slide right off. They're easy to use. Dogs don't mind them. And that would be a great way to protect the feet. This is very great. So this is it's Louis the Cavapoo. So Louis went to daycare yesterday and the trainers tried to teach her to sit, but I forgot to tell them she speaks Korean. So again, you know, if you have a dog and you are working with them and they have a different native tongue, you might ask the owners, how do you say sit? How do you say the basic commands? And that way the animal will respond to say sit. That means nothing to them. It's just, you know, gibberish. So I thought that's right. Anyway, thank you for that one. And I'm so grateful you are back at the 5 days. I think I'm kind of grateful too, but I do try to make myself a little bit in the mornings. I work Wednesday and Friday mornings. I always say from like 10 to 1. If I get home before 4, I'm lucky. But still, for me, especially now with the pandemic, so many people are saying no. They can't come in, right? We're not taking new clients. We could see you in 3 weeks. You can't wait 3 weeks if you have a problem with your animal. What is this nonsense? So, you know, again, but that is the work-life balance. Whatever, you know, as I say, to each his own. If the work-life balance is more important than your patients, that's okay. In fact, I love it. Why? Because those patients are coming to me. And yes, you can still make everything work. But clients want to know that you're not going to let their animals suffer. And that's kind of how I see it. So anyway, that's all we have time today. Thank you all for joining me. And again, during the week, if you have any questions that you would like me to speak about on the show next week. Now, next week, I'm going to be live on Instagram and we're going to be doing tape because we'll be at the VMX, which is formerly the North American Vet Conference in Orlando. And my producer, Mark, is going to be there as well. So Mark is going to be filming me, but we can't do it live because he will be away from a studio. I asked him to bring his studio along with him and he refused. So it'll be a taped show for Pet Life Radio, but it'll be live for Instagram. We'll be talking to one of the top veterinarians for the Veterinary Medicine Conference called VMX. Her name is Dana Varble. And we'll just be talking about stuff that's in the industry, hopefully things that you're going to find interesting, stuff that I find interesting. And if not, we're going to make it interesting. So have a great week, everybody. I'm off to the slopes. My snowboard is screaming my name. And we will see you here at the same time next week. I'll be in Orlando, Florida. It'll be noon. But for you guys who are in the West Coast, it'll still be at 9 a.m. And I'm looking forward. All right. Have a good week. And see you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.